Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke chapter 7, the book of Luke chapter 7. The title of our sermon this morning is one of two. It can be a healed servant or a soldier's faith, and you can decide which one you want, a healed servant or a soldier's faith. Let's stand together, if you would please, Luke chapter 7 and beginning at verse 1. Luke chapter 7. And verse 1, and when he had ended all his sayings, that of course is Jesus, in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man, said under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for the mercy that you showed this servant in healing him. And Lord, we pray now that you would be with those of our number who are ill, those who cannot be with us because of sickness. Have your hand upon them. Lord, we pray that you would bless these that are here this morning. You know the spiritual need of each and every one of us. Touch our hearts. May the Spirit move. And may the angels rejoice at the end of this service. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. It's a simple sermon today, so please listen carefully, because sometimes when they're simple, we miss the main object. And we know that all things work together for good. To who? To them that love God. Don't expect things to be going right if you don't love God. I'm not talking about you go to church once in a while. I'm talking about where you love God. Also, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We may not always understand why things are happening the way they do, but God has a purpose and a plan. We find in verse 1, it says, he had ended all his sayings. And we've gone through the message the last couple of weeks talking about the hard words and hard questions of Christ. We find in verses 20 through 23 of this of chapter 6, he had what is known as the Beatitudes. We find in verses 24 through 26, he has the woes. Then we find in verses 27 through 38 some very hard words. We're to love our enemies. Boy, that's hard. As I said, some of us have a hard time loving our mates. And yet we're to love our enemies. We find that we are to give. And boy, that's hard, because a lot of times some people will be glad to take, but they have a hard time giving. But we're to give. We find that he gives three parables. He talks about taking the beam out of your own eye instead of trying to take the splinter out of your friend's. He tells us that we are to be fruitful trees. He tells us that we're to build on a firm foundation. I tell you what, after walking around on the roof of the house there in Erdmont that did not have a firm ceiling, you get to where you feel uncomfortable and you're looking for the rafters. You like a firm foundation. But then we come to the centurion, a Roman centurion who was in charge of 100 men. And in this Roman centurion, we see a thoroughly practical man in both ethical and spiritual warfare. Now, I would like to read to you just what I've just read, except I'm going to read just the highlights of this little portion of Scripture. Notice he had ended a certain centurion servant, sick, ready to die. He heard of Jesus. He sent the elders, beseeching him to heal his servant. They came to Jesus and besought him. He loveth our nation, and he built us a synagogue. Jesus went, not far. The centurion sent friends, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say word, and my servant shall be healed. May I say this before I go any further? Always remember who Jesus is. Don't try to put him in a box. Don't try to put God in a box. Don't try to make God into your image. We continue in verse 8. I, a man under authority. Verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. They that returned found the servant healed. I have not found so great faith. How's your faith today? No one's answering me. You know what you're afraid of? You're going to say, my faith is really great, and I'm going to say, prove it. How great is your faith? You know, most of us live by sight. What is the balance in my checkbook? That's how most people live. They don't live by faith. Well, we say, I can afford this amount, and that's what I'll give to church. When was the last time you stepped out by faith? And you gave by faith, nothing wavering, believing that God is able to take care of you. We need to find out, how big is our God? This man, a Gentile, believed that all Jesus had to do was say the word. He didn't need to come and see the man. All he had to do was say the word and he'd heal him. How big is your faith? The author of the letter to the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul, declared that we are in a battle. How many of you believe that we are in a spiritual battle today? We are in a moral battle in America today. We are in a battle that says, take your eyes off of what's important and put it on the economy. Do you know why they always are talking about the economy? Because we have our faith in the economy. What we need to have our faith in are gospel-preaching churches. We need to realize that they are proclaiming the Word of God. And how important it is that we as a nation realize that we are in a spiritual battle. It's a battle that will last our whole life. As long as you are alive, you will be in this battle. We send our men into the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and they're in there for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is, and then they come out, and most of them are glad to be civilians again. But may I say this, you that are born again, you are in a battle until the day you die. There's no resigning from the Lord's Army. We are in a battle that is raging even in this room at this present time. Some of you right now are battling things in your life because you know they're wrong. But you have a desire to do them anyways. You have a battle. Some of you have never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've been religious, you've been to churches, but you have never accepted Christ as your Savior. You're in a battle today. Some of you right now are saying, boy, I wish I hadn't come today. But the fact of the matter is, we are in a battle, and one of those battles is decisions that have to be made. We'll be discussing that in just a moment. But this man, is his servant sick? Yes. He does not talk about it with pity. He sends for the physician. Does he love the Jewish nation? It is not seen in word, but in deed, for he builds them a synagogue. He does not speak of his faith. He shows it in a way that makes the Lord himself marvel at its greatness. This Gentile who had this faith and asked only that Jesus say the word. We note his simple, holy logic. Saying a word and my servant shall be healed. He says, I also am a man set under authority. Was Jesus under authority? We think of him as God. Yet he was under the authority of God the Father, who said, those people need a sacrifice and I will accept nothing else but your blood. And Jesus, under the authority of the God the Father, came to earth to die for us. You do realize that Christmas, 4 months from today, was not set aside so that we can give gifts. Christmas, Jesus coming, was set aside so that Jesus could come to die for you and for me. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now that's all the introduction. The outline is simple. The servant's need, the centurion's petition, and the Savior's response. Number one, the servant's need. Not only was he sick, he was utterly helpless. A picture of everyone under the spiritual sickening power of sin. Without the shed blood of Christ in our lives, we are totally in sin and we are helpless. According to Matthew 8:6, he was grievously tormented. May I say this, when a man is deeply convicted of his spiritual guilt, and utterly unable to help himself, he will be grievously tormented until he turns his life over to the Lord. Tell you what, he'll be upset at the preacher, he'll be upset at family members, he'll be upset at people in the church and blame them because he's tormented or she's tormented. The fact of the matter is the Spirit is convicting, and until one turns themselves over to the Lord, they will continue to be tormented. We find in verse 2 that he was at the point of death. May I say this, that death is the door into the next life. Matthew chapter 7, if you are so inclined, turn there quickly. Death. All of us have been to the funeral home, we've been to memorial services, we've known of someone who has passed on. And once they've passed on, there's no turning back. They are either going to one of two places, heaven or hell. There is no third place. You are either prepared or you are not. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many, millions are going to hell. They've taken the broad gate. Verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The decision is ours. Which gate will we enter? Now, I'll be honest with you, it'd be a whole lot easier if I said, up here there are two doors. One leads to hell, fire, and one leads to heaven's glory. And this one over here, it leads to hell. And this one over here leads to heaven. Where do you think we'd all go? We'd all go over here because we could see that literal door. But it's not a literal door. It's a spiritual door. And it's a door that we have to decide to go through. One way leads to destruction. The other way to everlasting life. And Jesus said, I am the door. And if you're going to go to heaven, you must go through Christ. Number two, we find the centurion's petition. He made intercession for his devoted servant when he heard of Jesus. It's pretty hard for someone to know Christ as their Savior if they've never heard of him. That's why we have a mission program to send missionaries to places around the world where the gospel ministry or the gospel has not been presented. We need to make sure that we continue to send missionaries so they can go. But not only around the world, here in America, people are hearing less and less of Christ. So many of our entertainment-driven churches, there's more about feeling good and living a good life than there is about repentance and getting things right. We see that the centurion was earnest. He beseeched Jesus. He urged him. He was humble. He says, I'm not worthy. Though the people that went on his behalf said he was worthy, he knew he wasn't. Remember this, that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And when God looks into your spiritual condition, what does he see? See, the day will come when we will all stand before the God of the universe. We will stand before the God who created us. And when we stand before him on that judgment day, he is looking for one thing. He's looking to see if you've been covered by the blood. He's looking to see if you have accepted his son as your savior. We find that the centurion was earnest, he was humble, he believed. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Which leads us to number three, the Savior's response. Now you figure I did those first 2 points in 6 minutes. I got 8 minutes left. Do you think I can get done with this last point? They're hearing amen on that. Very good. I'm glad you're out there and you are responsive. The only two that can sleep are John and Dell. Chris, you worked hard, but you're only, what, 15? 16? You're young. You're young. Notice that Jesus heard and he went. He went. The grace and truth that comes with Jesus Christ never comes too late. As long as we have breath in our heart or in our lungs, we can still call upon the Lord. And he will answer. We find encouragement. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I tell you what every Baptist preacher wants are godly men. I say this, what every Baptist preacher wants are godly men. Amen. And godly women. Amen. It's what every Baptist preacher wants. Because if you are faithful, God is happy. And we need to be faithful. Jesus marvels at this Gentile's faith. Jesus would ask his disciples later, O ye of little faith, wherefore do ye doubt? You saw the miracles, you saw what I have done, and why do you doubt? That's why I ask you this question, how big is your faith today? How strong is your faith? We find that the Lord's power is seen here. His servant was healed in the self same hour. Matthew 8:13. Jesus spoke the word. He never saw the servant. He didn't go into the house. He just simply said the word. This, so be done, is the amen of Christ to the prayer of faith. Christ himself is God's amen to the agonizing, trustful cry of the penitent sinner. Prayer. Now, I'm going to say this. Some of you have been praying that the air conditioning would come on, and it did. And in a moment, it'll go off because some of you have prayed that it would go off. Do you say that? Do you think God really answers those prayers? I don't know that he answers those prayers. But I'm going to tell you what, he will answer your prayer about giving you peace and comfort through hard times. He will answer your prayer when you ask him to help you get through the difficult times. He may not remove the cancer, but he'll give you grace to go through it. He may not remove the problem you're going through, but he'll go through it with you. And he'll give you strength and encouragement. And he will help you. Little faith in Christ narrows the channel of blessings from God to you. Little faith narrows the channel of blessings. See, God will only bless you in your faith when you exercise your faith. When you stretch it. Doubting hearts may call him great, but they trust him little. It's easy to sit here and say, I believe in an all-powerful God, but then never be willing to see how powerful he is. I'm going to ask you two questions. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Did there come a point in your life when you realized that there was nothing you could do to earn salvation except turn to Jesus Christ? And did you do it, praying for forgiveness and asking him to be your Savior? And number two, if you have done that, accepting Christ as your Savior, have you grown in your faith? Have you grown? Or are you on a plateau and not growing? Two questions. Only you can answer them. Shall we stand together? Our song this morning is Softly and Tenderly, 382. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Have you come to him? You know, I find it interesting the centurion first sent his elders, or sent the elders, and then later sent his friends, both to Jesus. But at some point in time, he himself had to come to Jesus. He himself had to say, Jesus, I believe in you. But I also marvel at this thought that as they were going to the house, Jesus stopped and turned around to talk to those who were what? Following him. Are we following Jesus? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. May we be in a right relationship, Lord, with you. Not with self, but with you. We ask that the Spirit would move and convict and touch hearts. And Lord, may none of us leave as we came. But Lord, that our faith has grown and that we have gotten our heart right with you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.